Welcome to the One Board Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Gutowski, and join with me today is Bob Kroll, the writer of Meeples in Love, the love book for board gamers. Bob, how are you doing today?
Book sales for Meeples of Love have gone through the roof, so I'm doing nice. Pretty good.
That's good. That's good. And I'm sure somebody's like, what's that ISBN number for that book? No, this does not exist, people.
Yeah, no, it doesn't exist. I just made the Oprah book club, dude.
Oh, Oprah's on that board game kick now. Okay. I like it. Good job, Oprah. Brooke,
Meeples of Love.
Meeples of Love in bookstores everywhere.
Books a Million, only Books a Million.
Oh, geez. Is there any Books a Millions around left? Are they left?
I don't think there is. That's why.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't think that's a sad one. Anymore.
That's a sad one because Books a Million was pretty hot when I was a kid.
Yeah. It used to be really popular.
Yeah. So.
But I think there's like half price books or something like that that's still around.
Which that one's pretty cool. And actually, you can find some good board games at half price books.
I've seen stories about that. People finding really good deals on board games.
There's actually one up where Rick lives. And so I went, when I was visiting him one time, I went ahead and jumped in there and they had some decent stuff. I didn't find any amazing deals, but it was pretty cool.
So not quite as popular as Barnes and Noble's, but
yeah. Well, remember a couple, what was it, like 2 years ago, Barnes & Noble, they were like, oh, Barnes & Noble, they're all going to go out of business. And there was all this fear of like restructuring and everything. Our Barnes & Noble really? Still does very well. Yeah.
Oh, Barnes & Noble's is rocking, man. Every Barnes & Noble I've ever been in, they got those Starbucks with the Cheesecake Factory cheesecakes. Look, I go right to food. That's typical.
Yeah.
Typical so. Me. I go to Barnes & Noble's for food. Cheesecake Factory cheesecake, man.
I go for food and books. So that's cool. So Bob, we're going to talk about some board games because that's basically what we do on this podcast. So if you were looking for the podcast about cheesecake and books, that is actually another podcast, not this
after
one,
this one.
After this one, yes. Yeah, so hit subscribe and you'll get right into it.
Don't dare me, Ryan. I'll do a podcast about cheesecake right now.
We have a 30-minute segment on cheesecake. It's like, wow, this one really took a turn. I didn't see that one coming. So Bob, let's talk about what we've been playing, man. So what is one of those beautiful pieces of cardboard you've been playing?
So, surprisingly enough, after I came over to your house the other day, we played a few games, and one of those was Welcome to the Zombie Edition, the expansion. And we've actually been playing that expansion.
Nice. So you picked up a copy of that one?
Yeah. Yep. I have a copy of all the radiation.
That's one. Right. You went all in on the Kickstarter for that one.
I went in hard, man. I got everything. The mat. You got the mat too.
Yeah.
Yep. That mat is beautiful.
It is.
And all of the different, the Halloween, the zombie, the Christmas, the every single expansion map they have. Yeah. And that zombies one, man. Woo. That is.
It is difficult.
It is difficult, man. It's a lot more decisions to make in that game than the original game. And it's a lot more tense.
Yeah. So we played the Halloween. I actually played Welcome To on, I think, Monday with some of the coworkers at lunch. And so the Halloween map, I was like, man, we just came off of on Friday. We played the zombie map, and that one just felt so difficult. And my score was low. I mean, I just really struggled to get exactly what I needed on that map.
There's more decisions.
There is. You know, it's definitely, there's, decision. Yes, there's a learning curve to that expansion that I really enjoy. And I think gamers, more serious gamers, would enjoy that also.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. So Welcome To, I wouldn't put it in immediate gateway. It's a little bit upgraded from that. I wouldn't put it in a gateway role and write, but it's not very difficult to learn. But that Zombie Edition expansion is definitely more of a gamer's with more strategy and more detail and more thinking and more decisions that need to be to make more repercussion for not placing things in the correct area. And, you know, so it's a lot more thinky. And yeah, like you said, if not done right, it can really keep your score down.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I was talking to a couple at church last night and we were chatting about stuff, and she said, and my friend Kristen said, hey, you won't believe what we picked up on Amazon yesterday. And I was like, well, what'd you get? She said, we bought Welcome 2, and we actually found one of the expansions for a little around half off. And so we went ahead and jumped on the expansion 2. I think it was the springtime one. And so they've got both of those coming. So these are people who enjoy gaming. They've played with us before, and they just really dug it. And so that I was excited to hear that, you know, friends and family are jumping on the Welcome to bandwagon. So,
oh yeah, that's awesome, man. That's really good stuff. Luckily they didn't pick up and go right for the zombie expansion.
When she mentioned that, I told her about the zombie expansion and told her how difficult it was. And she was like, I'm glad I didn't get that. She said, I'm not a zombie fan in the first place, but I'm glad I didn't pick that one up.
What? That's not a thing in real life.
So she liked the chillness of Welcome To. And I think that,
that's something that the Zombie Edition actually doesn't have.
Yeah.
But I like that. I appreciate that. The chillness is in the original Welcome To, and then you kind of get pushed onto the edgier seat with the Zombie Edition one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So let's see. I have been playing Parks. We played our very first game of Parks from Keymaster Games. This was a game that Rick actually hung out with Maddox and got to see this game as a prototype up at Keymaster in Athens. And so this is a beautiful game. I mean, I did an unboxing on Facebook two weekends ago, I think, but I didn't really have time to sit down and learn the game. So I went ahead and sat down with the rule book, sat down with the video, got an understanding of how everything works. And the first thing that I thought as soon as I started playing the game, and like I explained it to Aaron, so Aaron and I are sitting there playing on a Saturday morning, and I said, so this is what you're allowed to do. This is how the turns work. And then this is what you're working up towards. And she said, that's it. I said, yeah, that's it. And we both kind of looked at each other like, okay, well, let's see how this works. And the game is actually very thinky. Like it's got that chill factor, kind of like Welcome To. The artwork on everything, every piece of every component in that game is beautiful, you know? And so Parks is just a remarkable game. I can't say that I like it more than Space Park right now, but I want to play it a couple more times because I was very, very impressed with Parks. It's definitely a game that me and Aaron are going to sit there, drink coffee on a Saturday morning and play on a regular basis because that's the type of game it is. Yet it's still competitive.
Are there any unpainted resin pieces in Parks?
Are you talking about like the
like the rockets in Space Park?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. So they've got the all the pieces are wooden. Are little wooden tokens and stuff.
Okay, because that's what I remember seeing through the pictures. I didn't actually look at the game when I came over the other day. Yeah. I saw the box on the shelf, and I think you alluded to it, but we didn't actually get to open or look at it or play it for that matter. But I couldn't remember. I've seen the pictures, and I remember the artwork and the cards and everything looking absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. But I didn't remember if there were any pieces. First player markers, any meeples, anything that's going to be in the game that was plastic, that was resin, unpainted resin. Cause that was I like Space Park a lot, but man, I really wanted to have those rockets painted. Yeah. I think that's why Keymaster left them like that for people to put their own touch on them And I've seen some people with the rockets and space.
Oh, I've seen painted. Some beautiful paint jobs on those things.
Absolutely gorgeous. The only problem is, I don't know how to paint.
You're not a Picasso, what?
No, I am not whatsoever. I don't have the drawing bone or that part of the brain where I can. That's just not me. I can't do that. I wish I could. I would love to have that, but it's not me. Yeah. So I'm the guy that has miniatures and I outsource them.
Yeah.
So I have to commission someone and send them away or do what I have to. But I just haven't been able to bring myself to just send these three rockets from Space Park out to someone. Like, well, can you paint these,
well,
please?
If I end up, I love painting. And honestly, you know, we do a little, I take off a little vacation time around December every year. And I would love to sit down and just paint for a couple days, you know. So if I end up doing that and I end up painting the rockets with my version, I'll just take yours in and let me know what colors you want. So I love,
and that's how it's done, folks.
I love miniature painting, but I never make time for it. And so
Ryan, my rockets,
could you paint these rockets for me? So I'll teach you another difficult game.
I'll teach you this game if you paint my rockets.
So I really love all the components with Parks. They're just beautiful. You've got all these different, you've got these little wooden pieces, and everything has this almost brushed texture on it. I'm blown away with how good the game looks and how easy the game plays, yet there's some difficult decisions to be had. You know, do you, it kind of has that feel of Takedo, where do you jump ahead and do you kind of get some bonuses, or do you do things before somebody else, or do you stay back and just try to collect until somebody ends the round or ends the season? Because it's divided up into four seasons. So very cool game.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait to play that, actually.
Yeah, so we'll bust out sometime in the next week or two, and I'll teach you how to play. So awesome. That'll do it for what we've been playing. And, Bob, we have yet another diary entry from our friend Rick White. While he holds his daughter Phoebe, he's going to tell us about board gaming.
Hey everyone, this is Rick back once again for another installment of Rick Talks About Board Games While Holding a Baby. So it's been a few weeks since my previous episodes, or entries, whatever you want to call them, and I have really not played board games at all. I played one round of Gravity Warfare with my father-in-law, but apart from that, in the past 3 weeks since Phoebe's been born, I hadn't played board games until last night, when Sarah and I played the Goonies adventure card game. And so it was really fun, a lot more fun than I was expecting, a nice simple cooperative game. But rather than give you a review of that, what I wanted to tell you is, how is it playing a board game while holding a baby? Because Phoebe's in this kind of phase right now where she doesn't like being put down. That's why I'm holding her right now as she goes to sleep and breathes a little heavy, in case you can hear that. But I wanted to tell you kind of some of the standard board game things that you do and what it's like holding a baby. So first off, punching items, actually not that hard to do while holding a baby. I was able to pull that off. You just need a really powerful thumb. Maybe you need to just, you know, stretch and work that out ahead of time. Opening card packs, the little plastic wrap, that was a little more difficult. You got a situator just right so that you can use both hands, but that ends up working out. Setting up a board, pretty easy. It's just a little slower. You just grab things one at a time. Biggest challenge that I faced, shuffling cards. It's really hard to shuffle cards one-handed. I tried to do a bridge and, you know, almost dropped baby and cards. Okay, I didn't really do that, but I'm a little safer than that, but ended up just doing the slowest shuffle of all time, and it took about 10 minutes, especially because it was a new deck that really needed to be shuffled up. Let's see, playing cards. Goonies is a game where you actually keep your cards face up, so it's easy to do one-handed. I would guess that if it was a game where I had to keep my cards secret and hold them in my hand, that would be a lot harder to do. So, like, Hanabi, probably right out. But like I said, moving pieces and stuff around was fine. Apart from that, I think that covered most of the mechanics and the things that you might have to do while holding a baby, and it was fine. I mean, not that much harder than playing a game without a baby, other than the shuffling thing. So if you've got somebody else that, you know, is not holding a baby, then you'll probably be fine. Well, that's it for this installment of Rick Talks About Board Games While Holding a Baby.
Bob, we don't do this very often, but I figured it might be time to do a little Kickstarter check-in. See how some of those Kickstarter projects that we're funding and looking at and have reminders for, take a look at some of those that we really, really dig and maybe introduce some of these to our audience. So I guess I'll start with Winner Winner Chicken Dinner. You and I played this in a prototype form a couple months ago. Do you remember that?
Dude, like that was not a couple months ago.
Man, how long ago was that?
That was February? Like, I mean, that was, oh man, that year.
It's probably February.
February?
Yeah. Maybe February? That's a lot more like, months ago than I thought. Okay. Anyway.
That's a lot more months ago. Yeah. Because Chad brought that, and Jurassic Parts was super basic prototype at that point.
So Winner Winner Chicken Dinner is a Kickstarter from 25th Century Games. I did a full preview on this one. I'll link to it in the show notes. But Winner Winner Chicken Dinner, the premise is it's a dice chucking family friendly game. It's something that the whole family can get around and just start throwing dice and taunting each other and making jokes. I think what lends to the family friendliness of this game is that some of the cards in the game do things like make you cluck like a chicken or make you do a chicken dance, and you have to. Yeah, it's real silly and it's really fun. You're tossing dice kind of like King of Tokyo. You're throwing dice on the table and you're trying to get chickens in order to take the chickens out of the coop and put them in your bag, your personal little bag. Or you are getting drumsticks, fried drumsticks. For every two fried drumsticks, you can take a chicken out of your bag and you can fry it up. Or you're getting dog icons. The dog icons move Toby the dog. He's the guard dog, and he'll move along the track and kind of end the game a little faster. And then you have these little, the fox heads. And so the fox heads allow you to get different types of cards from a menu of cards up at the top, three different cards at a time. So it's a really, really well done, really great multi-generational game, because while this isn't a game that adults are going to sit around and play, it is a game that when you've got your niece or nephew or you've got some friends and their kids are coming over, this is the game that you're going to throw on the table. You know, it's really easy to teach. It takes about 2 minutes to tell people how to play it. And if you know Yahtzee, like, you get three chances to roll the dice and the dog locks in the dice. Yeah. So Winner Winner Chicken Dinner is a really, really good family game and definitely worth checking out. It's on Kickstarter right now. I think at the time of us recording, it's probably got 10 or 12 days or so. So it recently funded. Yep. Game looks great.
It's actually Shauna Tenney who actually does the artwork for that. And she did Bugs on Rugs, man.
Her artwork's so good.
Oh yeah, and Wizards of the Wild. Yeah, her artwork is phenomenal. It's really cool looking. Yeah, and I really appreciate that style of art. It looks really good. And yeah, it's got that Yahtzee locking die mechanic. Three rolls, lock what you want, re-roll what you want. So
yeah,
the classic, you know.
It's really good. So you actually did a preview of one of the games on our Kickstarter check-in tonight. What was that?
Yes, Seven Bridges. I have talked so much about the Seven Bridges, but like I said, it's my favorite roll and write that came out in 2019.
Yeah.
So it's the best route building roll and write. I know you guys on the podcast, I've mentioned this, like, oh, Bob's talking about that game again. But yeah, it's a Kickstarter. It's on Kickstarter now. It's got about 15, 16 days left. And like I said, if you are a fan of roll and writes, and historical value and historical connotations in this game, it is a really, really good
roll
and write. I can't say enough actually about this game. And,
and they've got
I did do a preview. Yeah. There's a couple of playthrough videos out there on the Kickstarter campaign page. You can read my article and, you can go out there and, back it as well. Yeah. You know, Seven Bridges by Ron Halliday.
And now this one's gotten a little bit of flack for the shipping costs and things like that, you know, but, we do want to mention that there is a print and play option. So if, you know, the money's an issue, you can definitely look at the print and play option.
The print and play option is a thing. Yeah. And this is, you know, if you want to go in with people, the shipping actually comes down.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you buy multiple copies, the second copy of the shipping, I think shipping is like $12, which a lot of people are not happy with. I understand.
Yeah.
But if you buy multiple copies, the shipping actually comes down.
I think it's $4.
It's $4 for a second. So it comes out to like $7.50.
Split the cost with somebody.
Game ship. Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's what the shipping costs. And, I think that's might be holding it back a little bit. I don't know, Ryan, if you agree, Ryan.
Yeah, I think so. I think the pricing of it, has held it back, but you know,
because I cannot preach about this game hard enough.
And that's the thing. Seriously. Like, this is a game that's, I think this is a game that's in both of our top tens, but it's a game that won't see the light of day right this second. And so it's tough, but Seven Bridges is definitely worth
it. It needs to, like I said, it needs to be made. This game needs to be seen by, and there hasn't been a lot of people out there. That I don't think Puzzling Pixels has gotten a lot of prototypes or the print and play copies into enough people's hands. Because we're telling people about this game, and there's only so much you can tell somebody. Look, I promise you, you need to play this game.
Definitely.
But there's only so much I can say to convince people. You know, when you look at the price and they're like, you know,
people have to know that it's worth it. The end of the day. So, a game that I've been watching very closely, Time of Legends Destinies, is a new game from Lucky Duck Games. Lucky Duck has just such an amazing pedigree. You know, they are making some of my favorite games, right now. We just got in our Kickstarter version of, Jetpack Joyride. Love it. Production quality was phenomenal. Really love what they're doing. You guys know that one of my favorite games of last year was Chronicles of Crime. And we're still playing Chronicles of Crime a year later. And so the Time of Legends Destinies is taking that interaction with a device and a board game and taking it to the next level, doing campaigns with it. It looks incredible. And the miniatures, are really nice, and they're small miniatures along with one big boss miniature. I don't know. If you check out the Kickstarter, you're going to see that this is a very, very impressive game. Lucky Duck has put a lot of time in. Vince has been, you know, talking about this game for a little while, and it looks incredible. So, you definitely need to check out Time of Legends Destinies. That's currently on Kickstarter for another dozen days or two or so, you know.
Cool.
you brought up one that you are currently backing, Ruins of Mars. Tell me a little about that one, Bob.
Yeah, so I saw this game and immediately got drawn to it because I got a thing about space, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know if I declare that
you
enough.
Love your space.
I think I've said it a few times. I think that's probably one of my favorite themes. If we are going to go thematic with a game, I do enjoy space. So yeah, Ruins of Mars, man. I don't know a whole lot about the mechanics. I know there's a little bit of Mancala effect in there. I know it's being touted as a nice, midweight Euro. The pieces look awesome. Personal player boards and the movement pieces all look awesome. And it looks like you're trying to, colonize on Mars. So it's kind of in that vein of terraforming Mars, but not card based. So Emma, it looks really cool. It just funded, actually. It's got, 15 days left to go, and it's a 60 to 90 minute 2 to 4 player. And the artwork looks really cool. It's not over the top, but it's not super basic either. It looks really good, and it's about
That's
space,
awesome.
Man, you know? So yeah, it's and it's got some really cool, what do you call them? Backer goal, or what are they?
Stretch goals.
Yeah, it's got some really cool stretch goals. So I want everybody to go out there and kickstart this so that I can get my stretch
there we
goals.
Go.
So I need the upgraded pieces.
That's really funny.
So I'm telling everyone this out of selfishness.
So this,
please help me get
help
my
me
pieces.
Get all my stretch goals.
Yeah, help me get all my stretch goals, please.
A game that both luck. You and I really enjoy, Deadly Doodles, from Steve Jackson Games. You brought up that Deadly Doodles 2 is currently, it's an expansion for Deadly Doodles, that is currently on mm-hmm. Kickstarter. It looks awesome. I mean, new maps. I really enjoyed Deadly Doodles. I've played it almost a dozen times, I think, since Origins. It's a great game. I bring it to lunch.
Yeah.
We play it. Have a good time. I taught some friends how to play it the other day. It's just a really good one. It's a good flip and write game. And Deadly Doodles 2 is going to be an expansion that you can throw with it, and new boards, new mechanics.
Yes. New boards.
Yeah.
New cards. It's got dice that come with it. I don't even know what
I was watching. Somebody do a live stream of that. I think there's the die mechanic. You actually roll it to it's a custom skull and dragon die. And I think you throw the die to put something on your board or put a monster on your board. Yeah. Anyway. So, but yeah, it's very cool. I want to be honest that I am a tad bit frustrated that, Deadly Doodles, 2 is on Kickstarter instead of going straight to retail.
Yeah.
Or just going up for pre-order. Because I don't know. I have this love-hate thing with Kickstarter, because I think sometimes Kickstarter shouldn't be leaned on so much sometimes. And to think about the fact. Yeah.
I know that's a hot topic.
I mean, I'm sitting here with Deadly Doodles 1, love it, really enjoy it, early adopter, family loves it. And then I'm like, oh, so I can get an expansion next year in March.
Yeah, I mean, it is next year, but it's March. So at least it's not like a year and a half.
Oh, yeah, you know what definitely, I mean? Yeah.
So it's kind of like they're using Kickstarter to actually gauge the interest level.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, please help us make this. It's not going to make unless we get this. It doesn't seem like they're using Kickstarter for that. Plus, it's Steve Jackson Games.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they pretty much, they know what they're doing. They you know,
yeah, yeah.
They wouldn't have to kickstart this if they didn't want to, but they probably, it seems like they're just using Kickstarter to gauge, like, okay, exactly how many copies do we need to make?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of overproducing copies and having them wind up for $5 at Ollie's, yeah, you know what yeah. I mean?
And I get that. I think I'm a little more hardcore about some of these. Sometimes when I see this happen, I'm just like, man, come on.
Yeah, I know.
But I will tell you, if you have Deadly Doodles, Deadly Doodles 2 looks awesome. You know,
and oh, then yeah.
on top I can't of that, wait. Yeah, on top of that, if you don't know about Deadly Doodles, you probably need to get on that because
did we do a review on Deadly Doodles?
We didn't, and actually, we might do a video review because this.
You know what? That's a good idea.
We should do that
because that was one we brought back from Origins with us.
Yeah, we did. I think that was one of my top 10 games that I wanted to check out.
Yeah.
When we were at Origins. Yeah.
Yeah, it's super accessible too.
It is. It's so easy to teach.
You know?
So.
Yeah.
Last one on our list is Arch Ravels. So this is a game, actually, I think the game, we've got funny stories about this one. This game was actually called Arch Ravelry, I believe. We've got some video content on our YouTube channel of Rick interviewing the crew over at XYZ Game Labs and talking about Arch Ravels. This one's currently on Kickstarter. It's a game about competitive knitting. It is a really cool, well done, very beautiful looking game. It's such a quirky theme, that it's definitely, it deserves your attention. You definitely need to check it out. So Rick did a little like first look at this game when it was under a slightly different name. And, all of a sudden our YouTube hits got out of control one night. And, Rick was trying to figure out what's going on. Apparently somebody was talking about the video in a knitting group called Ravelry.com. And Rick had to get a membership, like get a free login for Ravelry.com as a knitter so that he could find out why people were being directed to our YouTube video. So yeah,
wow.
I'll tell you more about that story later, but it is.
Yeah. You did not tell me about
that, man. He told me one night, he said, check out this video. I was like, whoa, why is that climbing so high all of a sudden? And he was like, let me tell you a story. So it was good stuff. Yeah. Wow. Some people were a little upset by the term Ravelry. So
what is this game?
So, but anyway, Arch Ravels.
This is serious knitting business.
Arch Ravels, if you are down with the knitting scene, you definitely need to check out Arch Ravels from XYZ Game Labs. So,
I don't know if you know about this, but I am down with the knitting scene.
Dude, I actually really enjoy knitting. It's super relaxing.
Do you know how to knit?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Do you know how to knit?
I don't know how to. My wife knows how to. She knits. My wife, like, seriously.
Val's down with knitting.
Yeah, Valerie is actually down with knitting.
That's what
that
I'm talking about.
That girl can knit.
There we go.
But I have no idea, man. It's like I don't get it. The needles, like,
it's super chill.
They're weird.
No, man. Like,
yeah, it looks chill.
Yeah, you can relax. Like, you de-stress.
Yeah.
Just start knitting. Like, make a big old.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. I
will say that some of the stuff she makes is really cool. So
yeah, I need to learn to make cool stuff. All I can do is like make baby
oven mitts,
baby necktie things.
That's baby necktie things.
Yeah, that's all I got. So it's real bad.
I didn't know that was that could be a thing, man. Baby neckties. Yeah. You go into the baby necktie business.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, okay. Yeah, scarves. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. Baby scarves.
Scarves. Okay. I was like, is he talking about bibs?
Yeah, no. I just don't have words sometimes, you know?
So, you don't have words, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Arch Ravels, really cool looking game. Really, just real colorful, lots of different. I don't know. I dig it. I really dig it. So definitely check out that project. That one has 16 more days on it.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to go check it out. I've heard of it. I saw some people talking about it, but I didn't really look into it. So now I'm going to have to take a look into it and see what it's about. So,
All right. So now that we've ended this podcast, the only way that we know how, by talking about knitting, Bob, I hope you have a great week, man. Why don't you tell people where they can find us?
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias at One Board Family.
And then you can head over to oneboardfamily.com. That's where you'll find news, reviews, interviews, and features like our brand new 2019 Halloween list of games.
Oh, yes.
That one got some attention yesterday, which I was very excited about. Are we going to be doing
some Halloween streams?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We don't have a day. Actually, when we hang up, we're going to have to talk about what day of the week we can do Halloween streams. But stay tuned to Facebook.com and check out our Halloween streams. We're going to be doing those weekly, hopefully, and showing you some of the great Halloween games that are out on the market today.
Yes.
Excellent. So until next time, we will see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.